Britain.
Constituency polling. Unlikely place for a dogfight. The election is not close, but the race in Bicester is.
Labour will, barring the greatest polling upset in British political history, win the general election on July 4th. But if you think the race is boring, take a visit to Bicester and Woodstock in Oxfordshire. In ordinary times, the constituency should be a shoo-in for Rupert Harrison, the Conservative candidate, a centrist who was once considered the real Chancellor as an adviser to George Osborne during the coalition government and is tipped as a future party leader. Instead, he is embroiled in a ferocious battle with Callum Miller, a Liberal Democrat councillor, and Veronica Oakeshott, the Labour candidate, who has a background in the charity sector. A constituency poll conducted for The Economist by WeThink, a research firm, has it dead level, with Labour and the Liberal Democrats both on 31% and the Conservatives on 30%. The race does not just reveal a less predictable side to the election. It may also help shape the direction of the Conservative Party. Part of the uncertainty about the outcome stems from the fact that Bicester and Woodstock is a newly created constituency. It is cobbled together from bits of three safe Conservative seats, including Witney, once the seat of David Cameron, a former Prime Minister, as well as part of West Oxford, and Abingdon, a Lib Dem stronghold. Had it existed during the last election, in 2019, the seat would have been staunchly blue. But after big Lib Dem wins in recent local elections and the large national swing away from the Tories and towards Labour, its future is much murkier. The Lib Dems are doing their best to turn it yellow. The party's approach is to persuade voters in winnable Lib Dem seats who are sick of the Tories to vote tactically. Though their share of the national vote will not change much, the Lib Dems could quintuple their seat count, notes Chris Hanretti, a professor at Royal Holloway, University of London. In many constituencies, Labour and the Lib Dems do not compete directly. In Bicester, Mr. Miller insists that it is a two-way contest between him and the Conservatives. Leaflets scream that Labour is out of the race. That infuriates Ms. Oakeshott. Bicester is not one of the Labour Party's 250 or so battleground seats. Their campaign website directs local volunteers to Banbury, but she is still doggedly in the contest. "I'm telling voters, don't outsource your decision to AI," says Ms. Oakeshott in an airy cafe in Bicester, a reference to the advice given on tactical voting websites. "We've got something to offer." Just then, a Labour voter interrupts her. "We get Lib Dem stuff through the letterbox every day," he says. "Why have we not had any of your campaign literature?" Most voters care less about the horse race and more about what will come after it. Behind the seat's affluent facade lie deep-seated problems. Market stalls selling artisanal bread and pear and ginger jams trade in front of boarded-up stores. Renters square off with nimbies. Citizens Advice, a charity, is next door to the cafe. In the past year, hundreds of pensioners with small pension pots who can no longer make ends meet, as well as young families struggling with mortgage costs, have asked for help, says its boss, Pat Coomber Wood. Mr. Miller and Ms. Oakeshott say that the number one issue voters raise is the state of the public services. In response to these problems, Mr. Miller, a proud councillor and rugby coach, he is less vocal about his time as principal private secretary to Sir Nick Clegg, Lord Cameron's deputy in the coalition government, preaches devolved power to local government. Ms. Oakeshott points out that she changed the law as an environmental campaigner and could do the same again as a backbencher. But, as Lord Cameron recalled in his memoir, only Mr. Harrison has plotted an economic rescue from the flat in Number 10, scribbling down ideas with Mr. Osborne while the Prime Minister served up the pasta. Ms. Oakeshott is critical of the austerity measures that Mr. Harrison and others put in place after the financial crisis. "It's been absolutely proven to be a disaster," she says. The chickens of austerity are coming home to roost, agrees Tim Bale, a professor at Queen Mary University of London, who points to those crumbling public services as evidence. But Mr. Harrison is unrepentant. Harsh cuts were necessary for fiscal credibility, he argues. From 2010 to 2016, the country had the joint fastest growth in the G7. The only thing he would change, with the benefit of hindsight, he says, would have been to borrow more for capital expenditure in what proved to be a decade of low interest rates. If in power, he would emphasise fiscal credibility again. After the debacle of Liz Truss's mini-budget, economic competence is imperative. Public service reform, particularly on productivity, is the only way to adapt to an ageing population, especially in the National Health Service. Wary of the coming battle with the right over the future of the party, he is cautious about labelling himself a liberal conservative. He is very attracted to Lord Cameron's old target of restricting net migration to the tens of thousands. He didn't love the policy of deporting asylum seekers to Rwanda, he says, but I don't have a better alternative. Mr. Harrison accepts that the Tories will lose this time around, but does not accept that years in the wilderness will follow, as they did after the party's last big defeat in 1997. Keir Starmer is not Tony Blair, he says. It's a volatile world. Voter loyalty is collapsing. The question is what kind of party the Conservatives will be by the time the next general election comes round. When Mr. Harrison was selected as a candidate, Mr. Osborne said that it was a sign that the seeds of renewal were being planted for the Conservatives. It is not certain they will germinate this year.